Thank you, Sean. I also would like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to start in 2 Nephi, the fifth chapter. I'm sorry. 13th chapter. Thought that didn't look right. I want to start in the 23rd verse through the 30th. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son under the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten unto this straight and narrow path, I would ask, if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and of love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And so I want to ask each and every one of you, when did this change come upon you? And was it just for eternal life? Is that the only reason why you did it? Are you done? Are you saved in the kingdom of heaven? You've been baptized, you've received the Holy Ghost, you're there. So what change was there in you? Let's go a little further. 14th chapter, 1 through 6. Now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye should speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will teach you all things what ye should do. Wherefore, now after I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock, Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things that ye should do. It is that spiritual change. And you know, and I've asked many people, how did you receive the Holy Ghost? And there's many in the outside world, they say, well, when I was baptized, I just received it. And it was just given to me. They don't read the scriptures. I believe, and it was given unto me, there was a laying on of hands. And there was an experience that I had when I had those hands laid upon me. You see, and I've... last few weeks, I've heard, you know, a lot about the Spirit. And I find that are we satisfied with not having enough of it? You know, when I stood up here and I was in charge for my brother Darren, you know, blessed be the poor in spirit. And I think about that. Know that there's something lacking in us. And it's that lack of spirit. And so we want more of it. It is the thing that changes us. And we find how to do it in the scriptures. And so how do you find God if you're not doing it the way that He wanted it done? We also look at a distorted image of our God. Is this why we are supposed to feast upon the Word? Yes. Because I've heard many people say, you know, well, God is just love. All I have to do is just love. I'm okay. That spirit changes our hearts. It makes us look at things a lot differently. Because that spirit of God is the thing that says, you need to be careful here. I want you to go and talk to that guy over there. Do you understand what you said to that person? You know, in many instances of my life, I found myself that if I've said something that offended someone, I never had a problem to go up and say, look, I'm really sorry. For some people, that's a difficult thing to do. But I know that my Lord requires that of me. And it is that Holy Ghost that helps us look at those things, teaches us. Let's go to John, St. John, the 14th chapter. 26th verse. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He will teach you all things. I mean, these are the basics. It's that same chapter. Let's go to the 12th verse, down through the 21st. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, for that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And this special verse here was when I was called into the ministry in this church. And I shared it with some of my friends that I was talking to earlier on. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the words I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you, if my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So how is he revealed? Through the Holy Ghost. Even small things. Because we all think we will do great things, yet it is our character that is changed by what the Holy Ghost does. And so how important is that truth in your life? You know, I find when I read the Old Testament and in the Book of Mormon, they dared not lie. Yet society says it's okay. You know, the other night I was reading about Joseph. And you know, he was in bondage for 13 years before he went before Pharaoh. 13 years. It wasn't just overnight. And he understood that there was a greater purpose for the things that he suffered. Three of those years were in prison. But God was with him, comforted him, allowed him to have favor with the chief jailer. So the Holy Ghost was with him. I know in many instances and people will say that Christ is the one that was the only one that had that. But you know, when you look here in the 26th verse, I think it is, of the 15th chapter, it says this, but when the Comforter has come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So it came from the Father. To guide our fathers in truth. So how do we fare today? Second chapter of Philippians. Twelfth verse. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed not, as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvations with fear and trembling. We don't fear. Look at our politicians. I'm amazed at society that we are caught in a lie and just continue on like it's no big deal. It's no shame. Lie after lie. No one holds them accountable. But I believe that they will be held accountable. Just like I believe that we will be held accountable. For our words. Revelation 21, 8th verse. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, I believe my God. And so, trust me, I fear telling lies. I fear being deceitful for any reason. And I don't think it's going to turn out well for them or for anyone else. So how important is that truth? Because that's our basis. Because I believe that Christ is that truth. And that's what he is founded upon, and that's what we are. Go back to the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi, the 15th chapter. 1 and 2. And now I, Nephi, cannot write all the things which were taught among my people, neither am I mighty in writing like unto speaking. For when a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it unto the hearts of the children of men. But behold, there are many that harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit, that it hath no place in them. Wherefore they cast many things away which are written, and esteem them as things of naught. Things of naught. So that telling the truth doesn't really matter. Sorry. I don't think that, and I know you don't either. And you know, if we never read the scriptures, we'll never know that, will we? Let's go back to the 20th chapter of Revelations. Twelfth verse. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. According to their works. This Holy Ghost should be working in our lives. Honest in every sense of the word. And you're always engaged in good works. Because you're going to have to give an account of yourself. You see, it's not just by word. You know, if you're baptized, and the reason why I read that first was, if you're baptized, you say that from that moment on that you're going to follow Christ and mean it with all your heart. That change you should recognize in you, and others should recognize it. Also, I've heard it said that if you tell people that you're a Christian, you put a target on your back. We should have a target on our back anyway. Are we so ashamed of our Lord? Because we should stand out. How do we stand out? Let's go to Titus, second chapter. Well, through the 14th, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. A peculiar people. Them guys have got their target on their back. Is that you? Is that me? We're teaching these things to our neighbors, to our families, to everyone and anyone that would listen. And that standard isn't ours, it is our Lord's. Because we know we're going to be scrutinized, we know we'll be judged. We know we will be persecuted because we're not of this world. You know, I get to talk to many people about the gospel. And I pray, and I told some of my sisters and stuff, I said, I pray for exceeding great faith. And that I also pray that I know my God. And I tell people the same thing. Because many places in the scripture it says, I never knew you. And this is our Lord talking. I never knew you. Can you imagine how that will feel when he says that to you? I never knew you. You know, I've had some fantastic experiences over the years. And through those experiences, my Lord has changed me in many different ways. My life changes continually, even today. And the subject for the Book of Mormon study downstairs this night was faith. And if that Holy Ghost isn't working in you, that faith won't do you much good if it's only small. You want so much of it, just as that poor in spirit. You want that spirit to enter in, to change your very being, to guide you in all things. You know, in many instances, some of the miracles in my life, just like being called into the ministry. When I was called into the ministry in that other church, the man that called me in said, there's two callings for you. He said, I don't know when the other one is, but he said, you're called to be a priest. He didn't know that it would be in the Church of Christ that I was called to be an elder, but he said that other calling was to an elder. You see, we put people in boxes and we say, this can only happen a certain way. Or, I don't believe that. I believe that God, in his infinite wisdom, shows us things miles ahead. That he directs us certain ways. I do believe that we're founded on the truth of God, on Christ. And it is very refreshing that's what we do have. But I don't think we have a corner on the market as far as the Holy Ghost goes. Because, like myself, he showed me many things many years ago. And where it has led was right here. I desired to know the truth of God. And my brother Roland said to me one day, he says, you know, he says, most people that come from the restoration never stay. It's true. Because if we don't humble ourselves, if we don't desire to know that it is Christ is the one that does these things for us and brings us along. Pour out his spirit upon us, nourish us. So from baptism. And someone asked me tonight, with all the testimonies that I have, why did I get rebaptized? And I said, it is in the Book of Mormon. I can find it real quick. Thirteenth chapter of 2 Nephi, the seventh verse. And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh, then how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask of you, my brethren, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God to fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding, he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father and witness unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. You see, the reason why most ministers that come from the restoration and stuff don't stay, because one of the first things they ask is, well, can I bring my ministry? You see, I didn't ask that. When I no longer believed like they believed, I figured my ministry was with them. And while I believed like they did, I had that ministry. But when I no longer believed like they did, didn't have it. Didn't turn away from God. You know, I went to Cowgill. Most of you know that. I still taught Sunday school. I still did what I could for the gospel. Because it was Christ that I was converted to first and foremost. We're always looking at how right we are, or how I'm more righteous because I do this or do that. When you stand before that judgment seat and he says to you, who did you do this for? Did you do it for you? Did you do it for me? How would I answer? How would you answer? I'm so thankful to be here, and I pray that the Lord will pour out his Spirit upon you and such power that his words may find place in your heart, that he may change you into a useful instrument, a weapon in his hands. And with that, I thank you very much for your time.